You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Her gender, they called her a Negro girl, and that was the first thing I saw, and it just kind of grabbed my heart. But then I saw her age, and she was 12, and that just really struck a chord in me because I realized just how young my mother was when something so horrible had visited upon her. Even to this day, it's a very hard word to say, but my mother was raped. Given her young age, at 11 years old, my father being 21.
That is a heartbreaking story. This is May 5th, 2022. But she can tell the story because her mother did not abort her. That is Kathy Barnett. She is a GOP Senate candidate in Pennsylvania. Born from a rape. A black woman, her mother and father, black, paternal father. Her mother chose to keep her, not abort her. Her mother was 11 years old. We're going to get into that in much more detail in the second hour, and I'll remind you again of that subject before we wrap up this monologue. But here we have, of course, the Supreme Court. Everyone waiting to see if the draft that's been released through Politico is going to be actually the final ruling of the court, and that is it will overturn Roe v. Wade. Keep in mind, everything's been put in front of you has been based only on a draft. Senator Rand Paul is thinking that since the draft is out there, maybe the court should expedite their decision. Normally, court decisions would come down in June, mid-June. Somewhere around there. He's thinking if they have, in fact, finished all their arguments and the draft is pretty much the blueprint, then he thinks they probably should go ahead and release it because he fears that being in this limbo is going to create the justices and place them in danger and their families. That argument came up yesterday with a guest I had, and I understand the argument. But I will tell you this, for some of these folks that are out there, and this is on both sides of the abortion issue, you want to keep that in mind. Planned Parenthood clinics, abortion clinics, have been bombed. Doctors performing abortions have been killed. So it's not just one side filled with violence on this issue. But I don't think that even if what was written in the draft is made fully final decision today, that these justices that voted for it are going to be free of any danger. They are their family. We'll get into that in more detail. In the meantime, we have this Department of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, appointing his Minister of Truth. And Mayorkas is questioned by Missouri Senator Hawley about, did you know she did this? She did it. She did this. Everything about this woman you appointed says she is a first-rate propagandist, and she was often peddling lies, everything from the Russian collusion to denying the Hunter laptop was real. And you still appointed her? And did you know about any of this? And Mayorkas, true to his DNA, well, I didn't know anything about it. Can you explain why? Well, I can't discuss while we're still in the process. Good God Almighty, and you want to know why this administration is so fouled up? I'm going to be joined later in this hour by Laura Reese. She's with the Heritage Foundation, former Homeland Security Deputy Director. And she says this disinformation board is simply to shut down opposing viewpoints. That's the intent, and I fully agree, and how it could affect the election coming up. And also how teachers, while we're being told they're not teaching They're not teaching CRT and home lesbian LGBT issues. Well, several teachers went on TikTok and proudly proclaimed they are, and also suggested how other teachers can do it and not let the parents know that you're teaching their kids about homosexuality and gender identity, even if they're 3, 4 years old. Is this what you want for our country? Again, I remind you before we wrap up today, the powerful story of the woman who could have been aborted by her 11-year-old mother, but she wasn't. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
If the opinion is going to be that the court is now going to defend the right to life, I'm all for that. As far as leaking it early, I think that in all likelihood is done from someone on the left wing who wants to agitate. I also am concerned that this could put our justices' lives in danger. I think having a prolonged rollout of this and pressure put on them with daily demonstrations, I think there is a risk to our justices getting them in and out of the building. And I hope it won't be, but I think it's a terrible thing whoever did leak this, because it does breach not only the decorum, but I think it may add to the risk that our justices have to encounter.
And I do fully agree with it's increasing the risk of the Supreme Court justices. That is Senator Rand Paul talking on Fox News about the fact that the Alito draft got released by Politico. I had a guest on yesterday that I value and trust and often have had an on, and John Daniel Davidson of the Federalist. And he's acknowledged then that he thought it was wrong for Politico to publish that draft. And one of the reasons he suggested is that it would endanger the judges and their families. This is a very different type of news ethical discussion than he and I normally have. And I bring to it, from my side, 40 plus years as a news anchor. And if you have a story handed to you, I tend to side more with Joe Concha of The Hill, who said it would have been malfeasance not to run the story if it's given to you, if it can be authenticated, which it was. I would never want to run a story that's going to put someone directly in danger in that immediate moment. For instance, giving advance word of where U.S. troops are being moved to a particular area. If you're reporting from a war zone or even in a police hostage situation. Years ago, we abandoned showing police surrounding the house and everything because we wanted no aerials, we wanted no video to be shown in case the hostage taker inside the house is watching to see how police are surrounding the house and where they may be trying to enter. So I'm all in favor of holding some of that stuff back. But in this case, I still have to decide and go down on the side that if they're going to issue that ruling anyway, it's not going to make any difference if it's today or tomorrow or 5 years from now. Those who want to keep Roe v. Wade in place across the nation, they might still be incensed enough, or others will become incensed enough to try to harm a member of the U.S. Supreme Court or their families. That applies, of course, to every politician, especially at the higher levels, if they have a wide range of views and a wide audience to hear them. Sometimes folks vote at the polls for just one issue. Sometimes they're going to go to the poll only because they want to make sure that the person that's elected is either pro-life or pro-abortion. That's the only thing they care about. There are a lot of voters who pretty much are single issue or two or three issue at the most. Rand Paul does make the point, and I'm not going to deny it, that, yeah, by the leak being out there now, this could open up additional attacks on the justices as they continue to try to proceed. They're still in session. But normally, here's the way it works with a court. Let me give you a good primer on this, basically. They get something like 7,000 to 8,000 each year petitioning to be heard before the Supreme Court. 7,000 to 8,000 cases. And out of that, they take maybe 100. And out of that 100, they may only take oral arguments in 80 of them. Some of them, they might just rely upon the paper unless they decide to bring in an oral argument. And to bring it up as an oral argument, you need to have at least four of the justices agree that we need more discussion on this. And there's a value to that because then it allows the oral arguments for the public to see and hear how the justices are leaning in their questions. That may or may not be an indicator of where they're going, but it gives you some idea of their thought process. Maybe. And maybe, again, it's a head fake. It's not anywhere near what they're thinking. They just want to hear it explained that way. So the official rulings, once they have heard the cases, and then they begin to make their decision on them. When they reach a majority opinion, if they can, they don't always, but with nine justices, normally you do have a majority opinion. If you're short a judge and you only have eight, well, then you could have a split. And, of course, if you've got 40 or 400, like some of the Dems want to do now, is pack the court with as many as they can from their side, then you'd have to have all those heard, and then each have to have a chance to raise a question. The bottom line is the court will probably not issue normally a decision on any of the cases they've heard from October to October. The current session will end this October, just ahead of the November election. But their cases heard starting from last October, which include the Mississippi case that is the basis for the Alito draft, has already been heard. Oral arguments have been heard. A draft has been made ready. It may or may not hold as it was presented. But whatever they decide, normally they start releasing the court's decision in mid-June. We are here in May 5, Cinco de Mayo. Happy Cinco de Mayo to you, of course. Lift a tequila for me if you're out there today. But they may wait until mid-June, normally. Justice Rand Paul is saying, since this is already out there, maybe it would be better to, as soon as they can, focus on this, resolve it, maybe they already have, And if they had truly resolved it, then let it go public, Senator Paul.
My understanding is, you know, sometimes they write an opinion, they vote on it, then to get one more vote, they may alter the opinion a certain degree, or if they don't have enough votes, or if it's a split vote. So I don't know where they are in the process. I would say if they're at the end of the process, waiting another month or two will be disruptive for the country. But I think it also will put them at risk because there will be more likely to be people who have anger and emotional issues that may show up at the Supreme Court that I think could be dangerous for justices. So I think the sooner the better on this, but I'm not one to stand here and dictate to them how to do their job. They'll have to figure that out. But I think there at least are some arguments for speeding up the process rather than delaying it in any way.
But if it's based simply on making them safer, I don't think that's going to change anything. Not for those who are adamant that Roe v. Wade be kept in place without any change whatsoever. That be the, quote, law of the land. The push to get into the filibuster rule and codify this with only 50 senators voting in favor of it. The push to pack the court to change things. Even they can't change this ruling, they'll look for another case coming up. And I remind you again, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, liberal justice, was not on the court in 73 when Roe v. Wade was decided. But she's expressed numerous times, even within months of her death, that she thought Roe v. Wade went too far. The court should have just stayed with Roe v. Wade that came out of Texas and ruled on that. But they basically stripped and said under the 14th Amendment, because abortion is not in the Constitution as a right, that under the 14th Amendment it becomes a right of privacy and there should be no restriction, none. Not reference how many weeks, not reference if it's rape or incest, not reference the health of the unborn child. The only one that tended to stay would be, and Roe v. Wade and that Ginsburg agreed with, would be to save the life of the mother, which I remind some of those still filtering around out there, kind of halfway listening, that would be a woman, not people born with wombs, which is a very interesting concept. I'll get to you in just a moment here. But when it comes to any restrictions at all, you got it. U.S. Senate candidate and current Congressman Tim Ryan, Democrat of Ohio, said, I wouldn't support any restrictions on abortion if I'm elected to the Senate. Fox host Brett Baer said, well, as a senator, would you have any limits on abortion? He goes off and again says, well, look, I think what you've established is something we need to continue with. Those parameters, Baer, after he let him go on for a while, followed up and said, my question was about any limits to abortion at any point, late term or anything. And the would-be senator from Ohio, now a congressional Democrat candidate, Ryan said, look, you got to leave it up to the woman because you and I sitting here can't account for all the different scenarios that a woman dealing with the complexities of a pregnancy are going through. How can you and I figure that out? Well, I'm not going to deny that question has validity. But we're in a point now in this nation where we are just willing to accept some things that are just beyond the pale. There are instances, of course, too, that numerous companies, so-called woke companies, are stepping forward and saying, if you live in a red state and it has a trigger and Roe v. Wade is indeed overturned, well, we will step up and help you pay for your expenses to travel across state somewhere to go get an abortion, up to $4,000, some of them. That's Amazon, Citigroup, Yelp, Uber, Lyft, Bumble, Match Group, Salesforce. They think that Levi Strauss, they think it's all going to help them. It may. It may also turn a lot of the public against them. But a threat you have to take seriously. Look at the computer shop owner that had the Hunter Biden laptop, but all the false information was put out there about him. He is, of course, now suing various networks for multi-millions because he said they made him a target, slandered him, libeled him, and basically made him a target of those who wanted to even the score somehow or another. And so he stepped forward now and is going after a lawsuit. Listen.
After Adam Schiff and 51 intelligence experts decided to pen a letter and tell the rest of the American people I was a Russian asset, things have kind of gone downhill from there. I had to enlist the support from Wilmington Police Department to kind of make sure nothing bad happened to me while I was at the shop. And after a couple weeks, it eventually got so bad that I had to close my business and flee the state. There was a lot of things that I saw on the laptop that should not have been sent in the open, especially White House information pertaining to the Ukraine being sent to private Ukrainian citizens to benefit their business. And the national security ramifications from that alone, I felt fear for the nation.
So there is a reason to make sure some of this disinformation doesn't get out there, right? Remember Alejandro Mayorkas, our Department of Homeland Security Secretary, just last month announcing, we have an answer for that. Listen.
We have just established a mis- and disinformation governance board in the Department of Homeland Security to more effectively combat this threat, not only to election security, but to our homeland security. We are disseminating information to the secretaries of state. We are counseling them and providing resources to ensure better physical security. We are addressing all aspects of election security, given, of course, the midterm elections that are upon us and the fundamental integrity of our democratic processes that is at stake.
That's what he wants you to believe, but the person he picked is far from that. I've got a guest coming up later. It's going to get in that in more detail. But before we do that, after this break, you're going to hear from Senator Hawley questioning Mayorkas and saying, do you know what this woman's been doing?
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
She has, for starters, consistently misinformed the public about the Hunter Biden laptop story and spread the lie that it was Russian propaganda. She has consistently spread false and misleading claims about the Steele dossier, which we now know was actually itself a piece of Russian propaganda. Here she is on August the 7th, 2020, promoting Christopher Steele, the stooge who helped launder Russian propaganda, including lying to the FBI about it. Here she is lauding him. She has used social media and the public to launder propaganda herself. Were you aware of this information when you chose her, everything I've just shown you?
I was not.
How could you not be? Did you do any research on her?
Senator, I will not discuss the internal workings of the hiring process.
That mealy-mouthed Mayorkas again. I will not discuss the inner workings of our hiring process. He did admit they hadn't really done it. He didn't know that she had done that. He said, do you know any of this stuff? Did you investigate her at all before you hired her to head up your disinformation board, the Ministry Truth, or Truth Minister, however you want to call her, Nina Jankowicz, a hardcore leftist, has been peddling propaganda and leftist swill for years. Russian collusion. Hunter laptop is fake. But now she is going to be in charge of this board of disinformation. Riddle me this. Joe Biden yesterday said, reference to Donald Trump and his Make America Great Again crowd. Joe Biden said this MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history, in recent American history. I know it's redundant, but that's what he said. The most extreme political organization. I would ask the truth minister, or I would ask you, Do you think the Truth Minister would brand that as questionable, at least, if not an out-and-out lie, because there's no evidence, you just simply say it? And what is a MAGA crowd? Make America Great Again. I don't care even if you're a Democrat. Don't you want to see America do better? Maybe you don't like the term MAGA because it suggests you might be linked to Trump. But don't you want America to be better, for you, the lives, for you and your family to be better? So if we had a minister in place now, do you think she would have called that out? Wait a minute. Not so fast. When Mayorkas announced last month that he had formed this Department of Disinformation and Nina Jankowicz was going to head it, the very one Senator Hawley was questioning about, she'd already been on the JOB for 2 months. For 2 months, she was already in charge of the Truth Ministry, the disinformation group. So she certainly, in 2 months, with whatever minor experience she's already had, she should be able to look at this Joe Biden remark and label it disinformation. But you don't hold your breath till she does. Please don't do that, because we call 911. I'm not sure they'll get there in time for you. No, she's not calling it out. So here comes Congressman Byron Donalds. And Congressman Donalds is a black man, Republican of Florida. And he said, in our politics, you have people who are vehemently disagree on what the policy should be and, frankly, what politics should be. But when you do this to Americans, when you try to divide them because of who they support to be president of the United States in the future or they support in the past, that's outrageous. I thought Joe Biden wanted to stand for unity. He's never stood for that. He's been one of the most divisive presidents we've ever had. Minister Truth, you want to challenge that? It would be hard to challenge that remark that he's been the most divisive unless you put him up against Obama. But let's say the Truth Minister comes out and says, Congressman, you're wrong. Trump was. Biden is. Obama was. Where do we go from here? Oh, I don't know. Let me go find something else that won't be so troubling. Coming up, a guest that is going to tell you how she sees this Truth Ministry, and the real intent, again, is the election.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket of heart. If you listen close, you can hear him cry. Oh, heaven knows we belong way down below. Sing it.
Larry Connors USA.
I remind you, we are live streaming. When we're on the air live, we are live streaming at rumble.com. We were on YouTube, but they didn't like what we had to say, so they took us off. So we're now live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to that rumble.com location, search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA, and then go into that open file and push the one that says live, and you can see previous programs as well. And you can subscribe, and it'll be sent as an alert to your phone or whatever every day, let you know when it's on, where you can see it. My next guest we've had on numerous times before. She's a former deputy assistant with the Homeland Security, Laura Reese, now the Heritage Foundation. Glad to have you with us, Laura. Welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, before you joined us, I was listening to Josh Hawley questioning Alejandro Mayorkas about the things that his minister of truth had been quoted and tweeting herself as showing how much of a propagandist she was, and asking, were you aware she was did not believe the Hunter laptop, and were you aware that she still called for Russian collusion? Were you aware of this? Were you that? And all the answers from Mayorkas was no, and then he said, well, did you investigate her? And, well, we don't want to tell you how we judge people, or something of that effect. Let's begin there. What about someone with that those credentials serving as, quote, and by the way, Hawley has introduced a bill to dissolve this disinformation board. I want to discuss the board in a moment, but first of all, if you're going to have it, and I'm obviously against it, you're going to pick somebody that's already got a clear set mind, we're going to declare everything on the right wrong?
Yeah, she's a terrible selection for this, and yes, we should. The board shouldn't even exist, but we'll get to that. Her track record is consistently wrong. She said that the Russian dossier on Donald Trump was truth, and the Hunter Biden laptop was misinformation. As a COVID response, she said, yes, please lock us down. And yesterday, video came out where she said, quote, Republicans and other disinformers engaged in disinformation for profit regarding CRT, critical race theory. So,
as if the CRT crowd is not engaging in that. Go ahead.
Right. And yet, Secretary Mayorkas said that she would be neutral, which is just laughable on its face. Everything about this is both frightening and laughable.
You pointed out, I'm looking at some quotes from you that say that the left can no longer use COVID restrictions or now seemingly Twitter to mislabel and hide legitimate information that voters would have in casting their ballots. Instead, now they're going to stand up and say this board will declare what is true and what's fiction.
Yeah, so I think the timing of this sloppy rollout and announcement is important, and I think it's a signal to the left. As news was developing of Elon Musk potentially taking over Twitter, we had former President Barack Obama come out and call for more censorship of quote-unquote misinformation, disinformation, saying too many lives have been lost because of it. Then Elon Musk, it looked like, was in fact going to take over Twitter, and the left melted down because that has been a successful vehicle for them to censor, whether it's been about the 2020 election or COVID response, including masking, vaccinations, etc. So I think this announcement about this disinformation governance board was the signal to the left of, don't worry, not all avenues for censorship are lost. Here's another one.
And your key word there is censorship, and that's what I've been stressing. I don't care how you label it, censorship by any other label is still censorship.
That's right. The Constitution clearly states that no federal law can be made to abridge free speech, and that includes the executive branch is not allowed to abridge free speech, nor can the federal government collude with big tech to censor or abridge free speech.
And it's so interesting, isn't it, that they had no concern with big tech, didn't call for any governing board. They wanted big tech to run amok going into the Trump election. And, of course, then you had the COVID restrictions. It all became a perfect storm. But now they're looking at a tsunami red wave for this 2022 that could flow all the way into 2024. So now we've got to find a way to start throttling back information.
Yes, and the difference is 2020 happened, and Americans saw very personally what the left is up to in terms of the censorship and the loss of revenue based on COVID response, restrictions, vaccinations, masking, et cetera, keeping schools shut, you name it, the Hunter Biden laptop. And so their eyes are open now, and Americans just don't believe what Secretary Mayorkas is trying to sell on this.
You're listening.
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, Americans have a healthy dose of skepticism, and they need to go with their gut instinct on this.
You're listening to Laura Reese, former Homeland Security Deputy Chief of Staff, now Director of the Heritage Foundation, Border Security and Immigration Center. All of this, of course, coming from Mayorkas, a guy who has an open border and doesn't see that as a crisis or chaos. Senator Marco Rubio, Florida Republican, said the board is simply, quote, speech police. You agree?
It seems to be, yep. I mean, after what we've lived through and after what Nina Jankowicz has personally posted and things that she has said, I believe Senator Rubio is right. And that's how Americans need to view this and continue to put pressure on the Biden administration to shut this board down and just bail on this very poorly thought out and poorly executed board.
Well, before you joined us, I was pointing out that President Biden yesterday was saying, talking to President Donald Trump's supporters, all those MAGA, those Make America Great Again, which should be everyone that wants to make America great, but just the term itself is now considered derogatory. But he said this MAGA crowd is the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history. And, of course, my question would be, where's the truth minister? Would, if she were on the board now, would she censor that? Well, in fact, she's been on the board for 2 months before Mayorkas told us he had formed this disinformation board. She has yet to say anything about those remarks from Biden.
Right. And it is another data point, an important one, that shows what this administration is on about. So at DHS, Secretary Mayorkas has continued to prioritize extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism as the number one threat to the homeland, ignoring the open border, ignoring the known and suspected terrorists who are crossing that border, and the terrible evacuation from Afghanistan. And when President Biden paints MAGA supporters as being the most extreme political organization in American history, we can easily connect the dots that this administration is going to pursue their political opponents painted as domestic terrorists. We've seen it in DOJ with parents trying to go to school board meetings and the attorney general's memo listing them as potential domestic terrorists.
And that's another part of this disinformation board. Are they going to be going in when teachers and school boards say, we're not teaching CRT, we're not teaching transgender studies to children as young as four, and the evidence is clear that they are, are they going to be called out and censored? And then what punishment or penalty is even established by the board? There are so many things we do not know, but what we do know is we fear it.
Yes, we should fear it. And no, they're not going to go after teachers who claim, oh, no CRT here, when Nina Jankowicz is on record as saying it's Republicans and other disinformers who are pushing the CRT worry. So we know where she stands, so she's absolutely not going to go after that.
Well, when you have Biden say the MAGA crowd is the most extreme political organization, I don't recall in the last 30 seconds a MAGA crowd in the streets looting, burning, attacking police. Now, they'll point to January 6th, and they're claiming people were killed. There was only one person, quote, killed. That was one of those who tried to breach the Capitol after going through several layers. So in the last 30 seconds, how would that MAGA crowd fit up against Black Lives Matter and the Antifa groups that are out there?
Right. Yeah, it's not the MAGA crowd that is burning and looting and rioting and killing. They also choose to ignore the very two recent examples of the Christmas parade murderer who drove his car through the crowd,
right,
as well as the New York subway.
Doesn't fit their narrative.
Nope.
Thank
doesn't.
You. Thank you, Laura Reese. As always, we appreciate it. Coming
thank
up.
You, Larry.
Thank you. Coming up, you don't want to miss this next segment.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
If you want to impress someone, I personally recommend Cafe Napoli, Clayton, our town and country, or St. Charles. Cafe Napoli offers private rooms for up to 50 guests. So plan a corporate party, an anniversary party, a birthday party, a party party. Cafe Napoli has a location near you, Clayton, town and country, and St. Charles, where Cafe Napoli 3 is now serving lunch or Sunday brunch. Only at Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles.
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So, if you're going to have a minister of disinformation, which we all know is really going to be a minister of disinformation, but not in the way that they're trying to sell it to you, what would be done about Elon Musk, and how would he be protected? Twitter users, because he doesn't have control of the company yet, have been ripping into the New York Times because the Times, that liberal paper, wrote an extensive piece trying to paint Musk as a man with immense white privilege in an apartheid South Africa riddled with misinformation and racism. Thursday, the Times tweeted the article along with the commentary, Elon Musk grew up in elite white communities in South Africa, detached from apartheid's atrocities, surrounded by anti-black propaganda. He says his takeover at Twitter is a free speech win, but in his youth did not suffer the effects of misinformation. That's a piece as it was reported in the Times. They went, and again, this is a piece I'm reading from Fox News as to how the story is being treated. They said that the Times went to depths of their research in reacting to several of Musk high school classmates and relatives who illustrated the history of a segregated white community composed by anti-black propaganda far removed from the atrocities white political leaders inflicted on the black majority. Classmates had no recollection of things he said or did that, quote, revealed his view on politics, and characterized him as a loner, no close friends, although some black schoolmates recall spending time with him when he was younger. So Twitter users quickly pan the Times paper, and most of them, these are the blue check marks that are saying, we just don't think that this should even exist. And that is that he should be able to hold control of Twitter, one of our big tech operations. Because they fear, of course, that they won't be able to get their say on Twitter anymore. He wants to open up the algorithms of Twitter, and he wants to actually have people have a right to say what they want, when they want it, and not be shut down. He says, I'm for free speech. So even if you wanted to go on there and tweet remarks against him, he's willing to let it happen. I know some of you watching at rumble.com thought, what is Larry doing now? Well, I dropped a piece of paper, needed to get back in front of me. That's why when you're watching on rumble.com, you're actually seeing what goes good and bad inside the studio. The piece I wanted to get up in front of you is partly promoting what's coming up in the next hour. We have right now numerous groups insisting they're not teaching CRT in our schools to the kids, and school boards going along with it, denying they are. We're not teaching LGBTQ issues to children in the third grade or lower, but we are. And there's evidence even from some of those same teachers coming up in the next hour. I want you to hear from some of them, and they don't have any problem whatsoever. Their attitude expressed by one of them is if they're old enough to be asking questions about it, well, then they're old enough to learn about it. Really? So what happened to the part of the education where they ask is, why is the sky blue? Are you going to spend time talking to them about that, or are you going to talk about them in rainbow colors? Or they ask about what makes up the rainbow, are you going to start talking about LGBTQ? I mean, they're going to manipulate your children if you continue to let it happen, and your grandchildren. So we're going to get into that in the next hour, and I want to quote one statement from, this is the part I dropped down on the floor. I had to bend down and get it. I want to make sure I got the quote right. Congressional Representative Alyssa Slotkin saying that in a text message, in her opinion, she would not say when she believes it's appropriate for children to undergo sex change surgery. A Republican opponent is saying we cannot allow children to have sex change surgery at all. But when her campaign was asked, what is the appropriate age for a child to undergo sex change surgery, since she seems to be all for it, the answer from her campaign is, you hear it? Did you hear it? Here, I'll play it again. Oh, you don't hear it? You know why you don't hear it? Because they had nothing to say. They can't defend it. They want it to go away. They want only those who are welcoming and receptive to hear. But they don't want the real public to know that she thinks that any age child could undergo sex change surgery. If she doesn't think any age child, 2 years old, 3 years old, 6 months, could undergo sex change surgery, why wouldn't she say it? Because she's trying to cater to that crowd. We're going to get into that in more detail next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.